Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, let's welcome in Ross Tucker. Of course, he does an incredible job covering both the Eagles and the entire National Football League. The Ross Report, CBS announcer, the whole deal. And we welcome him this morning. Good morning, Ross.
Morning. What's up?
I mean, fired up, man. Playoffs. This is, look, Ross, I'm very confident. Now, I don't think I'm overconfident for a number of reasons. I mean, one of which is I recognize Green Bay is very good. But the Eagles are clearly a better football team. And I do feel pretty confident we'll win this game Sunday. I mean, Ross, let's get right to it. Is that how you feel, that the Eagles are very likely to win this game?
Well, I do think they're the better team. I'll give you two concerns, yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, the Packers are top 10 offense and defense for a reason. And if you look at the Super Bowl odds right now, the Eagles have the fifth best odds, right? So it's Lions, Chiefs, Ravens, Bills, and then the Eagles come in fifth. The Packers are seventh. So I only bring that up, Joe. That is not a normal 2-7 matchup.
That's right.
Where you're talking about one team has the fifth best odds to win the Super Bowl. The other team has the seventh best odds. What gives me comfort is that the Eagles should be rested, healthy, ready to go. And the Packers are kind of limping into the playoffs. I mean, they did not look great against the Vikings a couple weeks ago in a game that was critical for them. Then they just lost the Bears for the first time in a long time. And I know that Love didn't play in the second half or whatever. They weren't playing all that great when he was out there.
And by the way, big game for them, Ross. I mean, I think it basically likely prevents them from winning a playoff game. If they were not facing the Eagles, they would have a spectacular chance to win a playoff game, and now I think they're likely to lose. That was a huge game for them, Week 18.
Yeah, I mean, they thought it was. They played their guys.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Like, they thought it was important enough to play their guys in that game. That said, the flip side of it would be, if we're looking for possible areas of concern, you know, they were the seventh seed last year, and they went into Dallas and absolutely torched the Cowboys. Yep. And if you remember the divisional round, and mostly the same guys, divisional round, oh my gosh, they blew that against the Niners. I mean, I can go back and think of like five or six plays where if they just catch the interception when Purdy throws it right to them, they win that game. So they also kind of have some playoff pedigree. And I'll tell you, Joe, the number one concern I probably have coming into this game, it's probably Jalen Hurts. And not that I don't think he's going to play. I do think he'll end up playing, and we'll see if he practices today. I am a little bit surprised / confused that it's taken him this much time to progress through the concussion protocol. It's also been a decent amount of time off for him, not only not playing, but not practicing. And then I guess I wonder, I don't know his concussion history. Maybe we should look it up. I'm a little curious the first couple times he runs. Like, I really want to see what Jalen is like the first couple times he runs after being in the concussion protocol at this point now for 2.5 weeks.
So, Ross, I was of that mindset a couple days ago. But I'll tell you this,
Ross. They're holding guys out, Ross.
The more I think about it, here's what I'm guessing happened, Ross. They chose not to practice him last week, and therefore he couldn't be cleared from the concussion protocol because you have to practice one time and then be evaluated to officially be cleared. I think they kind of just bungled it by not practicing him, even if it was for a few minutes last week. And because of that, he technically wasn't allowed to be cleared from concussion protocol. And I say that because the confidence coming from various reporters that are so certain that he's going to play and practice today tells me they probably just got caught in an odd situation last week because they weren't planning on practicing him. And by not practicing him, he technically couldn't clear protocol.
So that sounds very reasonable to me, and I hope that's the case. I didn't think of it that way, Joe. In my mind, my understanding had always been that the team really has no control over the concussion protocol, that that's like a league-mandated thing. And the fact that he didn't practice at all last week, I was a little bit curious about that and a little bit nervous about that. And I would say this, I think that's an interesting decision.
Yeah.
Now he's going to have a if that's in fact the case, and that makes a lot of sense, Joe, that's an interesting decision. Hopefully he gets a bunch of practice reps this week and everything's fine. And I mean, look, there's a great chance on Friday. I would just say this to you, John. Yes, it's the end of the season. Yes, it's the playoffs, all those things. Look, I mean, if he had a bad enough concussion that he couldn't go back into the game and he's been in the protocol for a couple of weeks, and maybe Joe's right, I don't know. I mean,
well, then it would be a problem. Yeah.
But also, there are people that think a little bit differently the next time they're out there. The next time they're running, is he going to put his shoulder down? I would think so. I think there's a high likelihood, yet, but I don't know.
But you never know.
I'm not Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. I'm not worried. I am not worried. I understand why you would be, because it's been a while and people get nervous, and it's the playoffs,
yeah,
and this is the highest stakes of all, because you lose and you go home. But
I mean, have you seen Tua run now? I mean, there are guys that after they get banged up or after they have an issue, they – you know, and maybe rightfully
and
they protect themselves
Jalen's
a little bit more.
Like that. I think Jalen's not that type of guy.
Not, but you never know.
But Jeff Hafley, their defensive coordinator, what's the rundown on the way that he's probably going to try to defend Jalen?
Well, that's what's so interesting, because, you know, I did one of his games last year when Boston College played Army. He was the head coach at Boston College. Think about this, guys.
Yeah.
Head coach at Boston College resigns to go become a coordinator in the NFL. You know, back in the day, people would leave being a coordinator in the NFL to get a head job at a big college. He went the other way. I think overall, he's done a good job this year. And I think the thing that gives him a lot of ability to slow down Jalen Hurts is that the Eagles really specialize a lot with Hurts in a lot of the RPOs. And that's like all they do in college. So Hafley should be as well-versed in teaching the read player what he wants him to do. Usually it's that backside outside backer. It could be the nickel. You know, he'll have some good stuff for Kellen Moore and Jalen Hurts to try to make that one read on the RPO tougher for Hurts than maybe some other teams do.
Ross, which aspects of the Eagles – for this game or the next 5 weeks gives you the most confidence in their ability to win?
Man, you know what's great about that?
So many choices.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, I had several. I would say, you know, this is probably my bias, but I'd still go with the offensive line.
It's a monster unit.
They have the best offensive line in football. I mean, it's funny because I'm actually doing the game for national radio with T-Mac, with Tom McCarthy. So you can't get it in Philly. You guys obviously be listening to Merrill and Mike, obviously. But there's a lot of stats out there that are crazy for the Eagles. Like the last time a team had the leading rusher and the number one defense.
All right, hold on. Let's take a guess. Hold on.
Okay, yeah, right. Yeah.
Leading rusher and number one defense.
It's got to be 85 Bears, right?
I don't know if Walter was leading at that point, but that's a possibility. All right, let's think about this. Who else has a guess here?
Cowboys?
So Eminem defense, that's possible. Yeah. That's possible. James, Rhea, Devin, who's got a guess? Leading rusher and number one defense. So Franco Harris, maybe.
Maybe Franco Harris.
Maybe. It could be Riggins and the Redskins.
Yeah.
How far back was it?
It wasn't Zonka.
So
the Broncos Miami defense good Dolphins? Enough for Terrell?
Terrell Davis.
Oh, Terrell Davis.
Yeah, like that was a pretty good
defense. But the Broncos defense
wasn't great, though. It wasn't the best in football.
All right, this is a good one. My official guess. So, John, is your official guess Walter and
85 Bears, sure.
I'll go with you might be right. Emmitt and Dallas.
I'm going to say Emmitt Dallas.
What is it, Ross?
It is Emmitt and Dallas.
Wow, nice Amaro. Shot, man.
Ruben Amaro.
All right.
So extra credit.
Football guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Extra credit, though. Okay. Do you know what year?
Well, it's either 92. Well, it could be 95.
95, yeah.
Could be 92, could be 93, could be 95. Emmitt Smith, by the way, led the NFL in rushing all three of those years, which is very impressive.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know.
Whatever year they beat Neil O'Donnell in the Super Bowl.
I'll give it a shot at 93.
Five.
What's the answer, Russ?
92.
Okay.
The first year, the first of the three Super Bowls, when they, who'd they smash? The Bills.
The Bills, yeah.
Yeah, Ruben, that's unbelievable. Joe.
Every once in a while.
You know what just happened right there? You know what just happened? Ruben Amaro just hit a grand slam off the hammer. How did you not know that, Joe? And Ruben Amaro
I love this take right here, Ross. Great point.
Beat the hammer?
Yes. I think.
Does this count? Does
this count?
Are you okay?
I think it counts.
NFC East knowledge, right? Too.
Sanctioned hammer contest.
And the wheelhouse of my youth. This is not. This is not good. Ross, I like it, man. All right, 215-592-9494. One thing I don't like is the way Jake Elliott's been kicking us lately. Let's listen to yesterday when we talked to Nick Sirianni. Of course, we were going to ask about Elliott and what's going on. Here's John with Nick Sirianni.
What's the difference this year? He was so money from any distance previously. It feels like the farther the kick this year, the less confidence we as fans have in him. What's the root of that?
You know, I still have so much faith in Jake and in what he's done and how he's been so clutch. You know, I think that, you know, he obviously has some misses. We've had a couple that have been at the end of the half where we've really, you know, which a lot of teams do, you push the line there at the end of the half because it's going to be your last, you know, your last play there. You know, I think one got blocked. So all those things you take into account. But I still feel like if there's nobody else in the league I'd rather have if we're lining up to kick a game-winning kick than Jake Elliott. And, you know, again, you guys see it on Sunday, and that's very understandable. But, you know, we get to see it Monday through Saturday of the clutch. You know, we practice different things to put them in high-pressure situations during practice. And so you have faith because of what you see Monday through Saturday. In preparation for Sunday.
We as fans, we just worry so much about whether he's physically like sound, and then we also worry about his head. When he misses a couple, can he bounce back from that adversity?
I think this guy has the definition of dog mentality. So he's the same guy every single day. I love his mentality. You got to have that mentality as a quarterback. You got to have that mentality as a quarterback, as a defensive back, as a kicker, as a wideout. Every position in football, you have to have that. And those guys that, you know, there's a reason he's played for as long as he has in this league, that he has that mental toughness to be able to move on and adjust whatever he needs to adjust after a miss and focus on the task at hand. And I have, again, like I said, have no doubt in his mindset, have no doubt in his ability that he'll be ready to go this weekend.
All right, that was Sirianni yesterday. So I'll tell you,
was for the kicker's benefit.
Yeah, like,
this to try to activate.
That's coach speak.
So
I feel really confident he went into Andy Reid mode of making sure he props up a player publicly.
Yeah,
Ross, my theory is that Sirianni goes into this game knowing that he should coach around Jake Elliott's recent deficiencies, and if a situation arises, we'll do so. What do you think, Ross?
I love that you brought this topic up, because you know how people always talk about analytics, and you know, like ESPN will show at the bottom of the graphic, like the analytics say go for it or whatever. What really bothers me about that is I know the analytics guys for a bunch of teams. They all have their own internal model. They all have their own stuff that they put in. So it's not like some Bible. Why am I bringing that up? Because I think they need to calculate for Jake.
Yep.
I think when they run their models for this game and they include the fact that they're the favorite and weather, and everything, you know, it's not, I don't believe it's dynamic during the game, but it certainly is specific to that week. I do think that whatever they previously have had as a, you know, whatever the situation, let's say it's a 54-yard field goal or it's 4th-and-3, that might have been a go for it before. I mean, that might have been a kick it before.
Yeah, exactly.
And now it's a go for it.
To me, that's a definite go for the 4th down. Let me ask you this one, Ross. Let's make it even closer. First drive, so I'm taking out every possible, like, it's late game, and I'm who knows, you're down 8, you're up 8, you're up 4, like, I'm none of that. 0-0, first drive, 47-yard field goal, or 4th and 4. I'm going for 4th and 4. I am.
So here's, so I got mixed emotions about that.
It's a tough one, but I'm telling
well,
you,
like, also,
I don't trust him right now.
Okay, but here's the thing. If you do that, now you're really getting in Jake Elliott's head.
I know.
And now everything he just said to you guys yesterday,
I know.
He's basically going against. So then next week when he comes on, he can't say he still has the utmost confidence because you can say, Coach, you don't have the – like you would have – now maybe he'll say, listen, 4th and 4, we had – you know, actually that's what he would say. He would say, 4th and 4, yeah, look, right. We were rolling. I love the play call from Kellen. I think I could be a very good – give coach answer.
Yeah, but Ross, here's the flip side, John. Here's what
would
Ross
erase the problem. Like the fact that we can talk around it and stuff. Like I'm so worried that this could be the difference in the game.
Well, it was
when it matters against a team that we're neck and neck with.
Well, first off, it could matter against Green Bay because let's be real. Even though the Eagles are better, it's still a point spread under a touchdown. Like this is not supposed to be a blowout. You know, the last time the Eagles played Green Bay in the playoffs, they lost in large part because David Akers missed 2 field goals. Love them.
I feel good about our chances in this game.
No, I do too.
But it's a very losable game, though.
It is a losable game.
Yeah,
think about it this way. If they were playing the Denver Broncos, the 7th seed in the 8th, they're not losing that game. You know what I mean? Like there's several. If they're playing the Steelers, the 6th seed in the AFC, they're not losing the Steelers. The Packers, I think, are good enough and have enough playoff pedigree with what they did last year that if they come out and they go down for a touchdown on their first drive, like the Packers, then look out because it's on. Then it's on.
All right, let's get some calls in here. 215-592-9494. Reminder, coming up at 8 o'clock, your chance to hear a name that with that name you can win tickets to the Eagles and the Packers on Friday's show. So games on Sunday. Friday we're giving away a pair of tickets, Eagles and Packers. Listen, coming up in 10 minutes for a name. And that name, Friday at 8, you got to know it. And with that name, you can win tickets to the Eagles and the Packers. And what a coveted game it's going to be.
And, of course, courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
I mean, these are coveted tickets. Yeah, win them Friday on our show. All right, let's go to Andy right now in Deptford. Good morning, Andy.
Morning, team.
Hi, Andy.
Dan trying to steal my logo, man. It's only one person that's we live, we hot. Come on now, Dan.
Yeah. I don't know if he was trying to steal it. Yeah, that's probably not the word I would use.
I think he was mocking you, but it's all right.
I don't know. I think he was maybe paying some homage, Hammer.
Let me tell you something.
About that.
There's a 0% chance of that.
Oh, come on. You just mad because I crushed you yesterday. But let's get on to today, right? A topic that nobody's really discussing with the Eagles, I'd love to get everybody's opinion on. Jason Kelce with the late night show. What's your guys' feeling on that? If you have or haven't seen it,
I saw it. I was there. I thought it was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Oh, you were there.
You were in the room for it. Look at you, big guy. Yeah. You haven't even mentioned that yet.
Big time, Charlie.
You bury the lead a little bit, huh?
Everybody relax.
That's pretty solid.
I thought it was very, very solid. I think there are parts better than others. I like the first roundtable segment the most, which was the one on Saquon. Now, look, obviously that's going to appeal to us. They're clearly going to have to do more nationally to appeal to the nation, you know, with greater frequency.
Yeah,
I thought the Saquon discussion was the best part of the show. I thought it was really, really good.
I thought the show was solid, but first show, so you got to iron out the wrinkles. But it had more of like a Larry the Cable Guy feel to me than like a late night show.
Well, listen,
like
it's going
to be beer competition on late night. Like, I mean, come on, Kelce. Like, I know everything you touch goes to gold, but like, you got to do better than chugging beers on the late night. That's kind of like
I'll say about that, Andy, because it's an interesting point. But I'll say this: I think the show John and I had in James, 2016, October 2016. I thought we stunk. They stunk
flat out
all the way up through April of 2017, and maybe some people still think we stunk. But my point is, I thought we were bad for 6 months.
Yeah.
So part of these things, I mean, it's one show. You got to give them time to grow into it.
Right. I mean, like you said, your first show you felt it was bad, but like, I mean,
no, our first 6 months was
bad.
First 6 months I thought were bad.
somebody had an idea, like, we're going to get some callers to chug beers live on the air, you'd be like, look, our first show may be a little suspect.
Look, they're trying to lean into his personality, which
is smart. It was brave, and I thought it was exciting that they were trying new things. It looks different. It feels different. I like the retro feel of it.
I do, too.
I know that there are times where it felt like it was a little bit wonky and clunky, but I know he's going to work his butt off to improve it for episode number
also,
two,
no,
and I can't wait to see how he tweaks
No ripping, chugging beers on this show. We're just not going to do it.
Andy, I need an answer. Wildest sports play ever. Which one?
Oh, man, this play created a football play. I mean, does anything get more wilder than Doug Flutie's Hail Mary?
That's a good answer.
It's
right
a very
there.
Good answer.
So it did not create the play.
Yeah, Staubach created it. But.
Correct.
I have a Doug Flutie one.
Huh? Say it again, Ray.
You caught it.
Called what?
Caught the pass.
The Flutie one?
Yeah.
Phalen, I think, right?
Very good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Look at you.
See, the hammer's back.
Let me.
Is he? No, let's not.
Dead hammer! All right.
Okay.
Who caught the one that Roger Staubach threw?
Drew Pearson.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, John, do you know the history of why it's called a Hail Mary? John Ritchie? Devin Caney?
It's like it has to do with Roger Staubach, right?
Yeah, well, you'd be a little more specific. Ruben Amaro, Rhea?
I do not know Ruben.
He prayed?
Yeah, didn't he say that he prayed before
he
or something?
I don't know that he actually prayed.
I said
prayed,
the Hail Mary.
But he said it, right?
He said after the game, I dropped back, threw it, and said a Hail Mary.
That's a Catholic thing right there. So. I said a Hail Mary.
And there you go. It was a playoff.
Joe, it really is the perfect thing for what it is, though. Like, it's a perfect way to describe what a Hail Mary as a pass is, you know?
Ruben, go ahead. I mean, Ross, go ahead.
Two quick things for you. One is, when I played for the Cowboys, I interned for Roger Staubach's commercial real estate company.
I mean, he was incredibly successful.
Oh, yeah.
Insanely.
And like the awesomest guy. Secondly, there's another thing that Doug Flutie is either the first or the only to ever do. And I was on the field when it happened.
Ooh.
You know the answer.
Dead hammer! Dead hammer!
So you know the answer.
Dead hammer! Don't even. I mean, Ross, yes. Yes, I do.
What is it?
The drop kick extra point.
Okay, who were we playing against?
Nobody cares about that. It was the last week of the season because it was the last regular season game of his career. So it was probably an AFC East matchup. It was probably the let's go with the New England Patriots against the Bills.
Nope. 2005 season, it was against Nick Saban's Miami Dolphins.
Okay. And that's AFC East. There
and
we go.
Here's how I know. You want to hear something crazy? The Patriots, if they won the game, they would have been the 3 seed and played the Steelers.
Yep.
If they lost, they'd be the 4 and play the Jaguars. So I'd only been there for a few weeks. Belichick put me in for the whole second half. Like, I was the guy they put in to try to help lose the game because they didn't want to play the Steelers.
That's
and here's what's crazy. We go down the field and score a touchdown with 3 seconds left. And instead of kicking the extra point to go to overtime, we go for 2. And there are – I've asked Matt Castle this a million times. You got to pull this up. He threw the worst pass I've ever seen on a 2-point play of all time. And a lot of us are convinced Belichick said to him, under no circumstances do you complete this pass.
That's funny.
I just saw Albert Breer tweet about it this week.
I bet it's true.
That's great. All right, Twitter poll question of the day is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's their people, well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. A lot of talk today on our show. What gives you the most confidence about this game in the next month? What concerns you the most about this game in the next month? We have the concern ledger in a Twitter poll question, which is, which of these is your greatest concern against Green Bay? Is it A, Jake Elliott, who we were just talking about? B, Jalen Hurts with the rust factor? C, Nick Sirianni, which I would not have as a concern at all, but I know some people through the Delaware Valley do. He does make some unconventional calls sometimes in-game. So you have that possibility. D, the Packers. I mean, the Packers are a legit team, and they are certainly a cause for concern. So you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. One of the things that's going to be interesting about the game, and we probably won't know until Sunday, perhaps is until around 3:30 or 3 o'clock maybe, when the who's in and who's out and all that comes out. But who's going to be the number two quarterback? We talked to Nick Sirianni yesterday about this topic. Here's the exchange with Sirianni. Have you made a decision yet on who your designated number two QB will be in the postseason, Kenny Pickett or Tanner McKay?
You know, I think the main thing is just I got so much confidence in that entire room. You know, it's a good problem to have. You know, Kenny's played really good. When, you know, Kenny played, I felt like a really good game against Washington. And then for the first half plus against Dallas to put us in a position, you know, that we were winning the game when he came out, pretty sound. And then, you know, Tanner came in and played the rest of that game really well, and I thought he played a really good game there. And so we have three guys that we feel really good about, which, you know, that there's something to be said about that, and really have a ton of confidence in all three of those guys. And it's been, you know, we're able to see the backups play with Kenny and with Tanner, and they just got some really good reps and some great film out there, and kind of showed us what we were expecting, you know, based off our you know, how we see them and view them in practice.
You know, an interesting answer. He didn't commit to either. And it may be because of the Kenny Pickett ribs factor. I mean, there's certainly a chance that he would prefer to go with Kenny Pickett, but doesn't because of the ribs. Guys, let's go a hypothetical here. Right around the room, everyone on the record. Hypothetical, if Kenny Pickett is deemed fully healthy. Rhea, if Pickett is fully healthy and Tanner McKee, obviously fully healthy, which would you go with?
Tanner McKee.
James?
Pickett.
Ruben?
Tanner McKee.
Okay, 2-1 Tanner McKee. Devin, what do you got?
Tanner McKee.
3-1 Tanner McKee. Ross, what do you got?
Fully healthy. Are we saying just to come off the bench or to start?
Backup quarterback fully healthy.
Number two, which means the other guy only gets in if the other two are taken out for the remainder of the game by rule.
Yeah, I would say Pickett if he's 100% because of his legs and the amount of big games he's been in.
All right, 3-2, John.
But by the way, I would have a quick. I would be ready to have a quick hook on him.
You're really strong on this.
All right, John, 3-2.
Kenny Pickett's the backup quarterback, and they're not going to change that unless he's hurt too badly to play up to his capabilities, in which case I feel very confident handing the keys to the backup position to Tanner McKee.
So I'm going to give you a weird answer. I mean, ultimately, the answer for me is Kenny Pickett. So Pickett wins our little internal 4-3.
Kenny Pickett has been a starter in this league.
Yeah, but
that experience is what they value most, and I'm good with that.
Pickett, and if he struggles, they'll go to McKee.
So I don't think they value that most, John. I think the reason it would be Kenny Pickett, I'm saying would, not will, would be if Pickett's fully healthy, which we don't know that he will be, is to what you said, John, and you said this all week, not to disrupt things. It's been Pickett all year. Don't create a ripple that could create an effect.
Think about the way he talks about keeping everything status quo.
I know he does. And
this is not, if you make this change,
yeah.
How does that keep anything status quo? That throws everything into upheaval.
Well, here's my answer where it gets twisted. So my answer is Kenny Pickett to keep things status quo. And I agree with whoever said, I think it was Ross or Ruben, someone said a quick yank if need be. I will tell you this. If Hurts was not able to play in this game from the beginning, I would start Tanner McKee. That I don't know if you guys understand the distinction I'm making.
I do.
I think Tanner McKee is better, but I would have Kenny Pickett as the designated two if Hurts plays to not upset the apple cart when the apple cart might not even be needed. The second quarterback might not even be needed to play. Does that make sense, Ross?
1,000%. The other factor is I don't know how much Pickett practice, if at all, last week. Tanner McKee got a ton of reps. Tanner McKee is feeling very good right now about the offense, his place in it, which, by the way, was, you know, they had 6 under center play action passes.
Yeah. Good.
In that game. The most that Hurts, I think, has had this year in a game is 3. So what they told us is that they have those plays. They don't think that that's what Hurts does best.
Clearly.
They don't want to put Hurts in that situation.
Yep,
but they do think McKee does it well.